The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So this gospel that we heard just a moment ago is actually the call story of the first disciple. And you might say, wait a second, Pastor, wait. 2 weeks ago, Jesus called James and John and Andrew and Simon Peter. Those are the first disciples. They dropped their nets, they followed, remember? That's the story. What do you mean this is the story of the first disciple? But discipleship is not just about following, but serving. And Simon Peter's mother-in-law, we don't even know her name, but she's the first person who figures this out. Right? Jesus enters Simon Peter's house, and he's told that the mother-in-law is sick. So immediately, Jesus does what Jesus does best. He extends a hand and raises her up. He grabs her hand and lifts her out of bed. And this, by the way, this lifting up, it's the same word that later will go on to describe in Mark's gospel what Jesus does on Easter Sunday, right? This lifting up, this rising up. So this woman is risen into new life. She's restored. She's, you might even say, resurrected even. But here's why she's the first disciple. Because the story doesn't stop there. She is risen up, she's lifted up, and no sooner is she out of bed than she turns around and begins serving everybody. That's the call of disciples. Not just Simon Peter's mother-in-law, but all of us who follow Jesus. God lifts us up and we turn around and serve. That's discipleship. It's kind of like this. A while back, one of my friends got word that his mother was very sick. And it was clear over some time that the end of her life was approaching. And so, as a dutiful and loving son, he went to go be with her. And he went to attend all the matters that come with accompanying somebody you love into death. For many of us, being at a bedside of somebody we would love, as they're in this state, as they're sick and dying, can be one of the most difficult experiences we have in a lifetime, right? It's the site of trauma, you might say, right? When we are most vulnerable to shame and bitterness and anger, because it can be a place where we feel helpless. So my friend goes to be with his mother. And as he's there, I imagine that all of those dynamics in attending to a loved one at the death are present, right? He's responsible for talking to doctors and nurses about her end-of-life care. He's responsible for getting legal matters settled, responsible for getting bills paid, taking care of estate plans, communicating with siblings and family about what's going on. And that's an enormous weight for anybody to carry. It's an easy place to feel bogged down. It's an easy place to feel helpless. I want to say, I don't think this is too dissimilar from what many of us are feeling now, 11 months into this pandemic. 11 months. Who thought we'd still be doing this 11 months ago? Not me. Over the past year, we've had this collective experience of being cooped up in our homes, unable to go out and hug people we love, unable to worship in person, unable to resume the normalcies of life, like going out for a meal or getting a cup of coffee with a friend. This has been a traumatic year. We have to just say that. It's been a year filled with grief and loss, vulnerability, and helplessness. It's all there. And the sooner we recognize that, the better off we're going to be in the long run. And like anyone who has attended to the death or a sick bed of another person, this kind of trauma can be a place where bitterness and resentment are born and flourish, a place where we are consumed by that kind of resentment and anger. One of Martin Luther's favorite definitions of sin is navel gazing, right? This image of a person curved over on themselves. And if we're not careful, a trauma of this magnitude, like a worldwide pandemic, can do this. It can crush us. It can send us inward. We read that in our confession this morning, right? We have been turned inward and we fail to see others. The weight of this experience can pile up so high on our shoulders that our backs begin to arch, and it sends us down further and further, and before we know it, we're incapable of seeing one another, let alone serving one another. And I think, I have to imagine, this is what my friend began seeing in the hospital as his mother was dying. Each day, he told me he'd return to the hospital to be with his mother, and he found himself surrounded by others whose grief was so profound, other people attending to other deaths and other illnesses, and he watched as it was crushing them under that weight, threatening, as it was threatening to turn them in on themselves. We're lifted up to serve as disciples of Jesus. We are lifted up. We're free from that in order to serve. And a beautiful thing happened. My friend was there in the hospital, not a trained theologian. In fact, he's a second career professional, right? He's there, and the craziest thing happened. He didn't feel battered or weighed down. No, for the first time, he felt like he could see things clearly, right? That he could see other people clearly, being there with his mother, accompanying her through her own end of life. It gave him these new eyes to see everybody around him. And little by little, he found himself talking to people in the hospital, hearing their stories, hearing their pain, hearing what was weighing people down, and lifting them up. He started praying for people, praying with people. Even as his own mother was dying, he found himself lifted up into new life. And just like that, he's serving everybody else. It's amazing. That's discipleship. That is the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. Not just that we are restored and healed, that much is a given, but that God might transform the very thing that has ailed us, the very thing that has grieved us, into service for somebody else, that the very thing that has laid us up in bed might be lifted up for the sake of someone else. That's discipleship. We're called to do this. We're called, we're lifted up to serve. And in that way, I don't think it's too soon for us as disciples of Jesus to begin thinking about what life will look like for us on the other side of this pandemic. Maybe it won't be next week. In fact, it probably won't be next week, or even the week after that. But it will not be long before we find ourselves up and out of bed again, up and out of our homes for once, and singing in the sanctuary together. I can't wait. This fever will pass. God will lift us up. That is the promise of grace. But it's not too soon to begin asking, what's next? And the truth is, we have all been changed by this. We know firsthand the weight of this experience and how easy it is to feel crushed under that weight. So we can no more go back to normal than that first disciple, and that's okay. I have to wonder what these post-pandemic eyes, these post-pandemic resurrected, transformed eyes of ours will see when this fever breaks. But whatever it is we see, the work of disciples is clear. We rise and we serve. And for that, our response is clear. Thanks be to God. Amen.